Pray this morning, Lord, as we gather as your children, that you would open the scriptures to us that we may see Jesus. Heavenly Father, it's by the blood of your Son that we have been redeemed, that we have been brought near to you. And we pray that you will take the highest place, that no one will share your glory, O Lord. Speak to each of us individually, speak to us as your body. Lord, do that which only you can do within every heart. For your word tells us that your word is a sword, a double-edged sword, piercing to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, going deep to the bone and to the marrow. So, Father, we pray that what your word can do of bringing truth, of bringing conviction to our hearts, Lord, please do it this morning. We ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray as your servants, as your son, that you would use my tongue like the pen of a ready writer, Lord, that your words will be inscribed upon every heart, that as I decrease, my Lord, that you would increase. Be exalted, O Lord. Let no one share your glory this morning. Jesus, help us to lift you up. Help us to lift you up that you may be seen of all men. Thank you, our Father, we pray. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen.
Last week, we looked at the words of the Lord Jesus Christ when he was addressing that lawyer that came trying to trick him. About which of the laws is the greatest. And Jesus Christ taught them that, and they themselves already knew that the greatest of the laws, which Jesus Christ taught them again, was love your God with all your heart, with all your strength, with all your might. And he said that the second one is not too far from the first, which is love your neighbor as yourself. Can you all hear me well?
Yes.
Okay. Is to love your neighbor as yourself. And we also looked at the words of the Lord Jesus Christ that which is one of the major differentiators of the old covenant to the new covenant. The old covenants were laws given by God that God called good, and they were written on stone. In the new covenant, he said he would write the laws, those his laws, upon the hearts of the believers. So when Christ taught that, especially when we see in the Sermon on the Mount, he will say that it had been written these and these, but I say unto you. There were people back then who kept to the law, kept to the letter of the law, as we were taking a look at it last week. And what Christ demanded of us was even greater than the letter of the law. It was the spirit of the law. So when the law said, "Thou shalt not commit adultery," Jesus raised the standard a level higher, that if you look at a woman to lust after her, you have committed adultery in your heart. No law would write that. We haven't codified
Yes.
the law anywhere. It's not written that if you look at a woman to lust after her, you have committed adultery in your heart. And these are the things that the Holy Spirit would write on our hearts so that we no longer need to have the laws codified on stone. That to other people, they might do some things, but to you, because the laws of God are written in your hearts, there is a level above what is demanded. And so the Holy Spirit would sensitize our hearts, convict our hearts, though it might not be written down like this, but in keeping with the spirit of the law, we are convicted when we do certain things that are not according
to what God desires of us, that are not according to how his son would have done it. So yes, we can give an offering, or we can give an alm to somebody who is poor, a beggar. It's good. God says we take care of widows and orphans. But if you are giving your alm to be seen by others, it is not something that God regards. It's not something that God accepts. So we saw all that in loving God and loving the stranger. We also looked at the aspect of when we love God, how do we love God, since God is not flesh and blood? God is not human. We look at the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, starting in Deuteronomy, the whole of Deuteronomy, we saw over and over again that when you will obey God according to what he has given you, according to what he has said, you will obey him over and over again. We saw obedience to God's law being a mark, and we saw this also. What Christ gave us in the New Testament, that when we obey what he has said, then do we love him. And so love for God is translated in obedience to the words of Christ, to what he has told us, to the conviction of the Spirit, because the Lord Jesus Christ said that the Holy Spirit will bring into our remembrance everything that Christ has said. So this is how we know that we love God, when we obey him. We also started with something that we saw as a connection between loving God and obedience to his word. Being God also desires, God loves sacrifice. We see that in the whole of from when we move from Exodus to the book of Leviticus, to the book of Deuteronomy, we saw the words of God in the laws of God, in the sacrifices that God desires, first of all, in Israel. Now, when God sent Moses to Pharaoh, what message did God say, go and give Pharaoh? The message was, let my people go. Not only let my people go so that they may worship me. So that they may worship me in the wilderness. And what we saw throughout what happened in the wilderness was, one, there was a big aspect of the building of the tabernacle. Secondly, there was a big aspect of God laying down what his laws were. And thirdly, there was a big aspect of God instituting the sacrifices. And so we know that, and I asked the question last week that when we say we worship God, we say praise and worship. In our modern parlance, we have brought worship down to just singing songs to God. It might be a part of it, but that is the very small aspect of it. We cannot divorce worship from sacrifice. We cannot divorce worship from obedience. We cannot divorce worship from truth. All those things, they go hand in hand. The Lord Jesus Christ says that the time has come when those who will worship him in spirit and in truth. So all these things, they go hand in hand. No matter how beautiful our voices are in singing, no matter how slow we make the song, no matter how many tears flow from our eyes when we're singing the song, if there's no truth in our hearts, if there's no sacrifice about our lives, especially if there's no obedience to God's law, to what the Holy Spirit is saying to us, our sacrifices are, they're filthy rags before God. There's nothing. It's nothing before God. No matter how much we sing, Lord, I love you, Lord, I worship you, Lord, I worship, there are pillars that undergird worship. So that when we now sing, it's a fragrant offering of our whole lives, the totality of our lives in sacrifice, in obedience, in adherence to the truths of the Word of God. Sister Bola read to us from Leviticus chapter 1 about the burnt offering. There were from Leviticus chapter 1 through, I think, the first few, five, six, seven, it was a description of different types of sacrifices that God had ordained. The burnt offering, the wave offering, the sin offering, the guilt offering. There were many sacrifices that God had instituted. God himself said that without the shedding of blood, there'll be no remission for sin. You know, I was discussing with somebody some time ago, and they were asking, you know, why is must there be the death of an animal for God to forgive sin, or the death of his son for God to go forgive sin? Well, these are aspects of the mysteries of God that we cannot never understand. We cannot know why. Why God will say he will require a life for a life, the life of an animal for the life that has sinned. And eventually, the one-time sacrifice of his son, the life of his son, for the sin of everyone that has sinned before the cross and after the cross. Why does God require it? That is why he's God. There are some things in the sovereignty of God that we can look at, we can marvel, but we might not fully understand. I don't know if God even wants us to fully understand. But there are some things that we have to live for. This is God because he's God. The Bible tells us that the things that have been revealed unto us, those are the things we know because God has revealed them unto us. There are more parts to God than what has been revealed in the Word of God. There are more things that happen in heaven than we know. All we know is what has been revealed in his word. But there's much more to God. And what we know is that God loves sacrifices. The sacrifice of the burnt offering was a special type of sacrifice. And we read it that if you were for an Israelite at that time, they will take from the flock or from the herd. They will divide the animal in such a way, or if they were poor, they will take a pigeon or a turtle dove, and there were specific ways in which they were supposed to cut off that sacrifice, lay the entrails, cut some parts of the animals, I think into four, lay them on the altar and burn it totally. And he said that when it is burned totally, the fragrance of that offering to God is a sweet smelling aroma. Now, we might think that the fragrance of a burnt offering, you know, women amongst us, even some men, I do, you know, they love fragrances. Some like Chanel number 5, who have money, and some like Taboo, which was the one they used to use in the north then, you know, if you don't have a lot of money. So Chanel number 5 maybe will stay for 2 days. Taboo will stay for 3 months if you put enough on your body. So the sweet smelling aroma, it was not so much of the smell of the offering itself. It was more of what that sacrifice signified. It was not so much of how the animal smells, whether you know it smells like suya or not. It was more of what did it connote? What was it for? And all the sacrifices, all the building of the tabernacle, all the instructions that God gave to the minutest detail that were to be carried out. God gave Moses. Moses chose those who were supposed to do it. You know, the artisans, Oholiab, forgotten the name of the other one, that were supposed to construct the tabernacle. Every detail that God gave Moses, they had to carry it, even to the nail, how they were supposed to construct the nail, of what material they were supposed to construct the nail, the curtains, of what material, how the length, the breadth, every detail God had given Moses. And there was a reason for that. It was because every detail of the tabernacle, of the sacrifices, pointed to the future sacrifice of his own son. And if the sacrifice of an animal could be a sweet-smelling savour before God, that which was pleasing unto him, how much more what his son did on the cross? How much more what Christ did for sinners? Now, let's open also to the book of Hebrews, chapter 10. And I'd like to read from verse 11, Hebrews chapter 10, which tells us something about the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ also. Hebrews 10 from verse 11. And every priest stands daily at his service. And if you go back to the book of Exodus, you'll see the institution of the tabernacle and how the priests stood to make the sacrifices. And every priest stands daily at his service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices. And there were so many sacrifices for different things. These sacrifices were done daily. Some sacrifices, like the sacrifice for the whole nation, was done yearly. Every sacrifice was done by the priest at his service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. They covered the sins for the nation, like the one for the nation, for a year. And they had to come back. That was when the high priest went into the tabernacle to offer to the holy place, sorry, to the Holy of Holies, to offer the blood of the sacrifice yearly on behalf of the people. And there was a protocol through which the high priest himself had to go into the Holy of Holies. He just didn't enter it anyhow. And all those sacrifices could not take away sins. It covered their sins, but their sins was not taken away. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. Every priest, after the order of Aaron, every priest, every Aaronic priesthood, everybody in the Aaronic priesthood, they had to stand to make the sacrifice. Christ, after the order of Melchizedek, offered his own sacrifice one time and sat down at the right of hand of God. Why did he sit down? Waiting from that time until his enemies should be made a footstool for his feet. For by a single offering, he has made perfect, or he has perfected for all time, those who are being sanctified. And the Holy Spirit also bears witness for us. For after saying, "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days," declares the Lord, "I will put my laws on their hearts and write them on their minds." He adds, "I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more." Where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer any offering for sin. Christ could sit down because his work was finished. Every priest that came had to daily stand because their work was never finished. The work of Christ on the cross for one time, he had finished his work. Because what the sacrifices of the priests back then meant, what they pointed to, Christ came and finished it. So for any other person now trying to make sacrifice for sin, it was futile. Any other person now trying in this day to make a sacrifice for sin, it's futility to make any type of animal sacrifice, because now we all look to the Lord Jesus Christ. He did it once, sat down because his work was finished. He himself said on the cross, "It is finished." David in the Psalms tells us that blessed is the man whose sins are forgiven, whose iniquity is not counted, is not reckoned. We looked at that. There is an accounting term, a reckoner. They'll be marking it one by one, one by one. Whose sins, all your sins are not reckoned against you. And that is the privilege that we have in Christ today. Through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, our sins, not only have they been covered by the sacrifice of the Son, they have been taken away. You remember what we read, that the daily sacrifices of the priest, they could never take away sins. But the sacrifice of Christ, once, it has taken away our sins. Our Father cannot now say that he will remember our sins no more, because the blood of his Son has wiped it and cleansed us. Is it only from the Son that the Lord demands sacrifice, or that the Lord loves sacrifice? The sacrifice of Christ was the greatest sacrifice of all, and is also an example for us in our lives, to live our lives sacrificially for the glory of God. Last week, we talked about the life of Joseph. When Joseph was confronted by the wife of his master, and that wife of his master, the Bible tells us, looked upon him lustfully and wanted to sleep with him. And what Joseph said gave us an inkling of the heart of Joseph. Because Joseph told that woman, look, everything that my master owns, he has given to me. The only one thing he has kept away from me is you. And if you want to sleep with me, how can I commit, do this sin? How can I do this act, do this deed, and sin against whom? He didn't say sin against the master. He could have well said, because it was his master who he will sin against if he commits adultery with his wife. But he said, and which showed us the heart of Joseph, how can I do this and sin against God? Joseph's higher purpose, Joseph's inner calling, who Joseph feared more, was God more than he feared his master. Remember what we said also last week. We do it not because, oh, nobody will see us. We do it because we love God. So if your motive and your heart is that I will do it because nobody sees me, or be I will not do it because nobody sees me, you are missing the point. You are missing the point. The reason why we want to live our lives as a sacrifice, as holy, because something that is holy means to be set apart, a cut above the rest. If everybody is doing it this way, you are doing it another way. Being a student of agriculture, when we were taught about how to dissect a cow, there were some, when you dissect cows, I don't know if you've ever been to a butcher shop and you see the diagram of a cow, when they will cut it, the flank, the shank, the shoulder, the rib, every part, they will cut it differently. There were some parts that were very cheap. Those parts that had a lot of bone in it, they're very cheap. And there was some parts of the cow, they called them a cut. That cut, you cut it differently, but it was a cut above the rest because it was the most expensive part of the cow. It's from those cuts that they get the meat for steak. Because the meat for steak was also supposed to be that type of cut that was juicy, that they could sell at a higher price. Not every part of the cow is sold. Is sold at the same price. There are some that will be cheap. There are some that will be, they will give it to animals, dogs. There are some parts that people will eat, but they were prime cuts. They actually call them prime cuts, like the prime rib. That which was meat for steak, they were called a cut above the rest. That is where the picture we have of holiness is. Out of the world, to everybody, Certain things might be ordinary, but for you that have been called to Christ to live your life a cut above the rest, you cannot do it the way everybody does it. You cannot live your life the way everybody lives their lives. The motive for which you do things cannot be the same motive for which everybody does it. Your speech, the manner of your life, your dressing, it cannot be the same way everybody does it. If for women, if everybody is showing their cleavage, for you as a child of God, you can't, because you have been called to be a cut above the rest. You have been called for a higher purpose. Young men, if all men are sagging their jeans, showing their pants, you can't. Because what is ordinary is for everyone. It is not for you as a child of God. That is the part of the sacrifice we have been called to. Part of that sacrifice is what Joseph demonstrated. Anybody would have said, ah, this is an opportunity. My master's wife wants to sleep with me. Ah, yes. I will be elevated. I will get something from it. But for you as a child of God, who do you look at? This is what we have been called to. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, let's go to that. Sorry, we've read Hebrews, chapter 10, and Ephesians, chapter 5. Ephesians from verse 1, Ephesians 5. It says, therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice to God. A fragrant offering, a sacrifice to God. Christ gave himself up for us. In another passage, it said that for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. For the joy that was set before him. There is a place for a Christian where we live our lives as lives of sacrifice. Joseph demonstrated it. We live our lives as a life of sacrifice in every aspect. When we give to God, David demonstrated that. He said, I would not give to God that which cost me nothing. Abraham also demonstrated it in the buying of the, I think it was the field of at Machpelah, or Machpelah, I don't know. Was it Machpelah or Mam? No, don't let me butcher it. But when Abraham was going to buy a field, they were going to offer him, say, don't pay any money for it. Maybe that was the culture back then. They will say, don't pay. You will say, you pay. They will say, oh, okay. They'll negotiate. But David said that he will not give to God that which cost him nothing. David demonstrated that with his life. Because every aspect of the life of David was a life of sacrifice. He left his father's house to serve in the court of Saul. Saul was a king who hated David because there was an anointing upon the life of David. Saul should have been that man, but because Saul did not live that sort of life in which he loved God with total obedience, Saul lost the throne. There's something that scares me. In God's call upon my life, and I'll dare say upon the life of anybody who ministers on behalf of God. And we saw that in the life of Saul. Samuel was asked by God to go and anoint David as king while Saul was still alive. It was a frightful thing for Samuel. But Samuel obeyed God, did it. And the Bible said from the day that Samuel anointed Saul to be king. The Holy Spirit came upon Samuel. The Holy Spirit had departed from Saul at that time. And what frightens me there is that Saul had the throne after the anointing of David for another 20 years. Saul was still king until eventually he was killed in battle. But he was a king without an anointing. David had the anointing but didn't have the throne. Saul had the throne but didn't have any anointing any longer. But he was still anointed. He still had the throne without anointing for 20 years after. While David was being chased by Saul, was being chased by the Philistines, was being chased from pillar to post, Saul was still king for 20 years. When a person falls out of favor with God, it can be a frightening thing because things will still continue. And it's not only pastors, I'll dare say any of us as Christians. If we live in open rebellion to God, if we live in disobedience, the things that God has anointed us for, it can still continue because God says that his gifts and his callings are without repentance. So you might think that because things are still happening in my life, in my ministry, God is still pleased with me. Not knowing like that, like Saul, the Spirit of God has already left you. You are still functioning. You are still performing. You are still doing, using the graces of old, using what you thought was, oh, God is still with me. Meanwhile, the Spirit of God is no longer with you. 20 years, Saul was still king, but the spirit of anointing was not upon him any longer until the day he died. And after he died, the one that I was anointed king now lived. And we saw the pattern of his life. It's not that David did not commit sin. Sometimes, personally, when I read the Bible, I'm like, Lord, these things that David did, they were more grievous than what Saul did. But there's something about the heart of David which I did not see in the heart of Saul. When David sinned, he repented totally. And I don't think there was anything we read of in which David did and repented and he came back to doing the same thing again, which was what typified the life of Saul. Saul never obeyed God with a whole heart, with the full heart, completely. Brothers and sisters, let us be careful when we deal with God, thinking that we can do wayo or we can deal with God on our own terms, when our heart before Him is not fully open, our repentance before Him is not truly genuine. We repent with the motive of, well, okay, I was caught now. Yeah, I'm sorry. But my heart is still there. That is not a life of sacrifice. In the book of Romans, chapter 12, Paul, writing to the Romans, says that we should present our bodies a living sacrifice. We should present our bodies a living sacrifice. What am I talking about today? I'm talking about sacrifice, which God loves. Present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. Let us read it. Brackenley, is it possible to project Romans 12, please? If you can, from the ESV.
Okay. Let me bring it up.
Expected.
ESV,
ESV, please.
right? Okay. I see it, huh?
See your passwords.
Yes, can
So in Romans chapter 12, it says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, and so that the sisters will not talk, think that he's talking to them also. Brethren is a term used for Christians, whether male or female. You know, some people also use sistren, but brethren is an overarching term. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers. By the mercies of God, in King James, it says, I beseech you, therefore, brothers. I beseech you means I beg you. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. And I think another part which says it, which is your reasonable sacrifice. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, acceptable, and perfect, to present your bodies a living sacrifice. This is the call of God to us. We do not sacrifice animals. You know, David in Psalm 51 said that, you know, if it were to sacrifice animals, you know, I would have done it for what I did. But the sacrifices that you will accept is a broken spirit and a contrite heart. Our lives are supposed to be a living sacrifice unto God, a sacrifice that is holy, a sacrifice that is acceptable. When God accepted it, you know, the smoke of the sacrifice, the Bible will normally tell us it rose up to heaven. It was a sweet smelling savor before God. Our life is supposed to be a spiritual offering, just as God called Israel out of Egypt, out of slavery. We have been called out of the slavery of sin. We have been called out of the world. Though we are in the world, we have been called out of the world to be in the world, but not of the world. We have been called out to be worshippers of God through sacrifice, through obedience, through worshiping Him in spirit and in truth. What Israel was meant to do in coming out of Egypt is also a pointing to the kingdom, to those in the kingdom of Christ, the kingdom of God, who have been called out, both Jews, Gentiles, both male, female, called out of the world to be a people who themselves and have now become a living sacrifice unto God, a holy sacrifice, an acceptable sacrifice. That our spiritual deeds, our thoughts, our actions, our motives, they are all searched by the spirits and ensured that it is right before God. So that when we do anything, we don't do because people don't see us. We do, like Joseph said, how can I do this? Though nobody will see me, but how can I do this and sin against my God? So the motive for what why we do is so that God will be glorified in our lives. The motive for why we act is so that Christ will be glorified in our lives. When we are enticed to sin and we say no, we are a living sacrifice. When we are enticed to lie and we do not, we become a living sacrifice. When a demand is made of us to deny Christ and we do not, we have become a living sacrifice. So that everything about us, in our living, in our dying, in our everyday, both in private and public, it is for the glory of God. The way we comport our lives, the way we live our lives. It is not only when we live our lives in public and we appear to men as being right, as being different, that it matters. It even matters more in secrets, what we do, which nobody sees, but our Father sees in secrets. It even matters more, our motives on the inside, which nobody can ever see, but the Lord knows the heart. The Lord knows the motive. In public or secret, nobody can know your heart, but God knows your heart. Is your heart cleansed? Is your motive pure? Are your hands clean? Is your walk right before God? These are the things that make us a living sacrifice unto God. God is looking for such to worship Him. God is looking for such to come out of the world to be worshipers of Him. This is what God has called us to as Christians. And may we, with our lives, glorify Him till the day we die in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for what you have shown us. And we know that it's be our bodies being a living sacrifice, our whole lives being a sacrifice unto you, is because of what Christ has first done. Make us like your Son, Father, we pray.
Amen.
Help us to live our lives through faith in Christ. Because of what he has done and left us an example, may we, by the strength of the Spirit within us, not in our own fleshly power, O Lord, but because we depend upon you, because we are surrendered and submitted to you, Lord, live through us.
Amen.
When it is hard, give us the strength to overcome. Lord,
Amen.
we pray that we become like your Son, so that it's not only when we are outside when people see us, but in secret also. Because you
Amen.
have said to
Amen.
those who are pure, all things are pure. Purify us, O Lord. Purify
Amen.
us that
Amen.
we will have no skeleton in our cupboard. We will not live any secret life.
Amen.
What we are in public, help us to be in private. What we
Amen.
are in private, help us to be in public. Because
Amen.
then
Amen.
will we be people of integrity before you, that our lives on the inside, on the outside, is always the same. So help us to worship you with our lives, Father. We ask, give us the strength, give us the wherewithal, give
Amen.
us a dimension of your spirit that
Yes,
enables
Lord.
us, O Lord, to love you in obedience,
Amen.
to love you in sacrifice, to hold
Yes,
on to your
Lord.
truth, and to live for our lives to be a sweet-smelling savour unto you, Father, we pray. Lord, thank you
Amen.
for these truths that you show us. May we
Thank you,
live to
Lord.
glorify you every day. In the name of
Amen.
the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen in
Amen.
Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. We thank the Lord for his word. May we not only be hearers only, but doers in Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 If we don't have him for today, I have one. Sister Bola and Sister Sister Shade, kindly lead us.
I need thee every hour,
Most gracious Lord, no tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my soul. I come to thee. I need thee every hour. Stay thou nearby. Temptations lose their power when thou. I need thee, oh, I need thee. And I need thee, oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need thee every hour in joy or pain. Come quickly and abide, all life is vain. I need thee, oh, I need thee.
Oh, me,
I
oh,
need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need thee every hour. Teach me thy way, and thy promise it be fulfilled. I
I
need
need
thee every
oh,
hour.
me,
Thee. Oh,
oh,
bless me now, my
me,
Savior. I
I
come
come
to thee. Amen.
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 Amen. Before we share the grace and fellowship, I want us to pray for Grandma Ned. Sister Bolani Olugumi, kindly lead us in prayer for Grandma Ned.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for our wonderful grandma. Lord, we love her dearly. We thank you for her life. We thank you for the joy in spite of all that she's going through. We thank you, oh God, that you still give her the ability to laugh, to smile, to speak of your greatness, your kindness, your goodness. We thank you for the strength you give to her day in, day out, in spite of everything that is happening. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much because you love her much more than we do, and you know what she is going through. And Lord, you've said that nothing is trivial to bring before you. So Lord, we bring our mother, our grandmother, we bring her before you that Lord, you perfect your healing work in her body in the name of Jesus. We ask, oh
Amen.
Lord, that the plans of the enemy will not prevail in her life in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
We pray that grandma will testify and we will rejoice with her. She will testify of your healing hands touching her from her soul, of her feet, from her head to the sole of her feet in Jesus' name. Amen. I
Amen.
pray that you continue to encourage her, oh God, every single day, that she will always know every second of every minute your love, that you are with her. Lord, when the enemy tries to bring fear or anxiety or anything that would cause her to have tears, we pray against it by your power in the name of Jesus, that she will
Amen.
continually be filled with the joy of the Lord. And I pray,
Amen.
oh God, that Lord, you will continue to help us to Encourage her daily to remember grandma every single day. And Lord, I pray that she will never feel alone. And I just pray, oh God, for your favor. And I just thank you, oh God, for her life. And I thank you for your healing work in her body. Lord, we thank you once again. Our prayer
Thank you.
and our desire is that grandma will return to us to testify of your goodness and your glory, to dance
Amen.
before you, to praise your holy name. For Lord,
Amen.
nothing is impossible with you. With man, it is impossible. But with you, oh God, all things are possible. So Lord, we bring your daughter before you and we thank you, oh God, for what you're doing in her body, in her mind, in her spirit. We give you all the glory, oh God, that all the days of her life, she will bring pleasure to you, even as she lives
Amen.
from day to day. In
Amen.
Jesus' name, pray.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 Let us share the grace together in fellowship.
The grace.
The grace
Of our Lord Jesus Christ,
Christ,
the love of
love of
God, and
God, the
fellowship
sweet
and the
fellowship of the
Holy
Holy
Spirit
Spirit,
be with us
be with us now
now
and
and
forever.
forever.
Amen.
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 Surely,
Amen.
goodness
Goodness
and
and
mercy
mercy
shall follow
follow
us all the days
all
of our
days of
life,
our lives, as
and
we
we
shall
shall
dwell
dwell
in
in
the
the
house
house
of
of
the
the Lord
Lord
forever
forever
and
and ever.
ever.
Amen.
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 Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Have a blessed week. You
You
too.
too. Good morning. Happy Sunday.
Happy
Happy
Sunday,
Sunday.
everybody. God be with you all.
Bye.
God bless.
Hallelujah.
Manoja, we saw Kaelin now. Where is he?
Gone out with the dog. They have
Okay.
we have a warm weather. They just his like
How are you, Brother Alaja?
very
Roger.
fun. When is your private jet taking you to Florida?